and welcome to episode 5 of Speak Beastie for Sunday, February 14th, 2016.
I'm Shannon.
I'm Ariel.
I'm Aaron.
And I'm Eleanor.
So, Eleanor, tell us about yourself, where you're from, what your Hogwarts house is, and what you do for MuggleNet.
Yeah, I'm from Australia in Sydney, and I'm a Slytherin, and I am on the creative team at MuggleNet.
Is this our first Slytherin?
Maybe.
I think so. If not, sorry.
Sorry if I'm offending anyone. I'm just pretty sure this is our first Slytherin, though.
We should really write down everyone's houses.
Yeah. Oops. I can't even keep up with my own, though, so.
Before we get started, we wanted to announce that we are now on Patreon.com. For as little as $1 per month, you can become a sponsor of Speak Beastie and help us bring you more from Newt's fantastic world. So please visit www.patreon.com/speakbeastie and show us your support.
And now for the Phoenix Register. So during the Harry Potter celebration, which took place in Orlando, Florida from January 29th through the 31st of this year, we got some amazing new information. One of the exclusives we got was from Pierre Bohanna, who is the head prop maker for Fantastic Beasts, and he basically confirmed what we'd been discussing for the past few episodes, that Newt's wand has elements of bone, lime, and shell. So despite our initial thinking that maybe it would be totally vegan, there is some bone, but we don't really know what kind or what animal or beast. So what does everyone think about the lime and the shell also? Because I thought that was really interesting, especially the lime.
I'm not sure about lime, but I know that we kind of talked before about the possibility of coral, so we're not super far off with shell.
Yeah.
So we've been right about one thing so far.
It's interesting because all three of them have, like, what massive amounts? Is it, like, calcite? Calcium or something?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's very fossil-y, like bone and lime and shell. This is very fossil feeling, like an archaeologist.
So other information we got from the Harry Potter celebration in Florida was, can we get a drum roll?
Insert drum roll.
That is good enough.
Just tapping on a desk.
This is why we do podcasts and we aren't in a band.
Nailed it.
So the information we got from the Harry Potter celebration in Florida, the North American Wizarding School is named Ilvermorny. So this comes as a problem for me because I live in North America and I have a bumper sticker that says Hogwarts Honor Student, so...
You could be a foreign exchange student.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't...
Study abroad.
Yeah, that's what I did. Totally. Absolutely. I went to Hogwarts, not Ilvermorny. They gave me some sort of, like, scholarship to go to Hogwarts. That's what it was.
They probably have, like a quota that they need to meet of, like, out of the country, you know, like, foreign exchange students.
Out-of-towners. Yeah.
Judging by the map of wizarding schools, do you guys think Ilvermorny is in Canada or in the U.S.?
I actually think it's in Canada.
I think Canada.
Yeah.
There's a guy, I think it's a guy actually, I'm not sure. Someone on Instagram started taking a bunch of pictures in Detroit of really cool buildings and is putting forth the idea that Ilvermorny is in Detroit, which would be really interesting because Detroit generally is not super magical.
Yeah, I was going to say, nothing against Detroit, but you'd kind of assume J.K. Rowling would pick somewhere either where the population is pretty sparse, like she did with Hogwarts, where it's in the middle of the country, or maybe somewhere really populated, like a big city. So I'm going with the former and thinking Canada.
Yeah, I just thought it'd be, like, in one of those lakes, like, up in Quebec. And also, like, I read a thing and it was, like, they thought that maybe Ilvermorny was, like, using French again And, like, we all know that J.K. Rowling loves mm-hmm. French things and French words and everything. So that could mean, like, you know, it would be in Quebec and all that kind of stuff. So I don't know. That was, like, the best theory I read, I think.
That is true.
I still think it's going to be in the States because I think that Americans would be pretty butthurt about not getting our own wizarding school. Whereas, like, Canada, they'd be like, eh, it's fine. You have your thing. They'd be much nicer about it.
Well, maybe it'll be in the middle. Okay, not that I know anything about American geography, but it's like part north, part south. And I don't know where the dividing line is. Maybe it's on that. Just to keep everyone happy.
What if it's like on Niagara Falls?
Yeah!
What?
Or like I don't know how.
I've never been to Niagara Falls, but or the Great Lakes. That was what I had originally thought.
That would be cool.
But Niagara Falls is cooler.
It's more magical. As far as I know, and I hate to bring this up because I'm sure it's a touchy subject, but I don't remember seeing a wizarding school in Australia.
There isn't one. I have so many issues with this. Oh.
I figured you might. That's horrible.
Hey, we have like three left. No, two left. Yeah, no, she's mentioned the Russian one as well. So there are two left, and she hasn't mentioned one for India or China, and they have like 52% of the world's population. So they've each got to have the last one. So I don't get anything. That's very sad.
I really don't understand how Australia couldn't have one, like at all.
Yeah.
That doesn't make
like
any
we're
sense.
All homeschooled or something.
Maybe that there are, like, wizarding trade schools, like, small wizarding schools that aren't, like, wizarding universities.
Maybe we just specialize in Quidditch or something. So we've got, like, a load of Quidditch teams, I think.
But if you're in Australia, can't you just, like, hop over to Middle Earth and learn magic there?
True that. True that. Let's head over there. No issue.
Don't cross the fandoms. You can't cross the streams.
So, Eddie Redmayne confirmed that filming for Fantastic Beasts wrapped on January 29th. That's pretty interesting given the time frame. Mm-hmm. So, when did they start filming is the question. Does anyone know? I feel like it was sometime late last year.
I feel like I read somewhere that they had the usual, like, 3.5 month shoot that these films would have.
Yeah.
And we got the trailer in December mm-hmm. before filming.
That was our first episode.
Yeah, that's true. So before filming had even wrapped, we got a little of what had been edited. It makes me wonder when the next trailer, now that filming has officially wrapped and they're starting the editing processes and everything, when it's officially we're going to get a full trailer, not just the teaser trailer.
Yeah, it was an announcement trailer. It wasn't
Thank
even
you.
A teaser
yeah.
trailer.
Well, no. There was the announcement trailer before the teaser trailer, right?
No.
No?
That was an announcement of the announcement trailer.
No. No way.
And then the trailer... Yes, it was.
No.
I swear.
This is the world we live in now, where we're just, like, looking forward to the next trailer of a thing instead of, like, the actual thing. I would say, if I were to guess, if they finished filming end of January... I would say we're going to get the next trailer probably like mid-late March. That's my guess.
I know, mm-hmm. yeah, I know nothing about movies, but that was going to be my guess just based on when
because
the movie comes
close-ish
out.
Because it's close-ish to spring, you know.
Yeah.
Stuff's happening.
And when all the big movies start coming out.
Yeah.
That's when they put the trailers up anyway.
What movie could it be in front of?
I am so unaware of what other movies are coming out.
I'm like, what other movies are Warner Brothers putting out?
Batman versus Superman comes out in March.
Would they put it in front of that? They might.
They could?
They could.
A similar demographic, I would say.
And that is a Warner Brothers movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm. That's a possibility.
That's a pretty solid shot.
Because after that, then it's Suicide Squad in August.
Oh, boy.
I don't think they put
Sorry.
It in front of that deal.
No. Because I think Suicide Squad will be, what is it, PG-13 or R? I feel like it'll be R, but I don't know. I don't know if they want to push those boundaries because with Deadpool just coming out,
I don't think that it would need to be R. I think they can get away with PG-13, whereas Deadpool like has to be R, and then Superman's PG-13, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. I can't imagine that they would put that in front of an R movie.
No. That's why I was thinking Suicide Squad may not be... Eh. Batman,
even
Superman,
if it is PG-13, it's not as family friendly.
Right.
Yeah. What I'm going to assume is that Fantastic Beasts will likely be PG-13 since the later Harry Potter movies were PG-13, and they dealt with some heavier stuff, obviously, but we're also dealing with a different age group.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And
I don't know. I wouldn't be...
But they're aware that the demographic, like, the Harry Potter is, like, older now. Like we'd want PG.
Yeah.
So...
Because I would be less interested if I found out it was PG. I'd be like, nah. If I don't need parental guidance, like, what's the point? Not that I'm 13. Forget it. In other news, Ed Osmond was cast as a demiguise. Is that how you pronounce that?
Yeah, I think so.
I think so.
Okay. In the book, it says, the demiguise is a peaceful herbivorous beast, something like a graceful ape in appearance, with large black doleful eyes, more often than not hidden by its hair. The whole body is covered with long, fine, silky, silvery hair. Demiguise pelts are highly valued, as the hair may be spun into invisibility cloaks. So as I was reading this, I kind of, and I know I harp on Sasquatch a lot, but that's the kind of description I was getting. The peaceful and the graceful ape in appearance, even though it has silvery hair, not the brownish... dark hair that Sasquatch is usually described
so like
as.
Like a Yeti.
Well, yeah. Oh, yeah, because Far East.
Yeah.
Well,
there are Yeti legends and stuff in like Eastern cultures and stuff. I don't know of any specific ape men type things, though.
I just so badly want Sasquatch. I'm reaching.
I want Sasquatch to be like a character. Like, he can talk.
Well,
and,
I mean,
like,
this one kind of can.
Goes on the adventure.
Like Harry and the Hendersons.
I just imagine Sasquatch in a Goofy movie.
Yes. Ah, oh, such
don't
a
don't even
jerk.
Get me started on a Goofy movie. Oh my gosh.
That
I'm
Sasquatch
sorry.
Sasquatch is You're so just... mean.
He is, but he's got great taste in music.
He does. Mm-hmm.
And, when
and
you,
he's got
when
great
you think
dance
about it,
moves.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Oh man, this is something I never knew.
We can only hope that the CGI in Fantastic Beasts will be as good as the CGI in a Goofy movie.
For other news pertaining to Fantastic Beasts, just be sure to check out MuggleNet and our Fantastic Beasts section.
So now it's time for Owl Post, where some wonderful people have talked about or talked to us about the Speak Beastie podcast. And on Tumblr, CenaDoth777 said, I'm mildly disturbed by the fact that everybody's excited about Valentine's Day and asking who I'm going to go out with. And I'm just like, nah, I'm going to listen to the new episode of Speak Beastie like the nerd I am. And all I can say to that is respect.
Yay, we all have a Valentine. CenaDoth777.
Happy Valentine's Day. CenaDoth777.
Yeah, we haven't even mentioned that this is on Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
Happy Valentine's Day, folks.
It's weird recording before and, like, having to put yourself in the future. Like,
future
we're time
self.
Traveling in our podcast.
Well, we do with the time turner, Aaron.
So we just wanted to say thanks to CenaDoth for celebrating Valentine's Day with us. Yeah.
Yes, thank you very much. We feel very loved.
We got an excellent email from Katie, who's a relapsed Harry Potter fan, and we can't include everything because it was a very long email, but we appreciate everything. So we're just going to pick out some of the main points. And what she did was she analyzed the pictures from the Fantastic Beasts movie shots that we've been getting. And she deduced that she said... Katie said in the fourth episode, it was mentioned that this picture of Newt running up the stairs holding his case and fighting Modern Evil's flyer takes place outside St. George's Hall, Liverpool. However, after she looked at, so after Eagle eyeing all the released photos, trailer stills, and behind the scenes stills, she's 98% sure that this picture takes place at the Leavesden set, specifically at the bank. In fact, she thinks that many of the pictures we've seen so far take place in or outside the bank.
Yeah, and I went through all the pictures that she sent us, and there was a lot of stuff in there that I had not noticed, like Tina facing away from the camera in the background, in a crowd behind Newt, and stuff like that. And
was that
all these things are at the bank.
Was that the person in the hat that we had been speculating about anyway, or...
No.
Oh, okay.
Because she pointed out that that person was also in the shot in this crowd of people.
Huh.
Man, she needs, like, a CSI job, like...
Yeah.
Sit her in front of a computer and be like, hey, Katie, enhance. Like, zoom in there. She's, like, nailing this.
I think that's what she's doing.
I was reading through this, I'm like, this is incredible. Like, wow.
Yeah. Katie brought up a lot of amazing points, and that's why we absolutely... Katie, if you're out there listening, please, on this episode's comment section, please post what we didn't get to talk about, because people need to see just how much work you put into it and all of the awesome things you were saying.
It's also very cool that she kind of outlined how most of these pictures take place outside the bank, which means that, one, bank is going to be a super important thing, and two, they haven't given us nearly as much stuff as we thought that they did.
So, oh, yeah.
Like, a lot of our speculations are like, oh, actually, the whole world is not nearly as filled out as we thought, and that's really exciting, because now we get all this other stuff, hopefully, in the future.
Well, if you think about it, so far, we haven't seen any images of beasts.
Yeah.
Because they're keeping those wrapped up. So maybe the bank is, like, the only place you don't see a beast.
The bank is pre-beast.
And also that, like, collapsed building that Graves is standing in.
Yes.
Right.
Those two places.
The rest of the movie is nothing but beasts.
No yes, banks,
beasts
just
all
beasts.
The time.
So we know where not to find them.
At the bank.
It's at the bank.
Yeah. Even beasts know to avoid the bank.
You don't want to go there. That's where the goblins are, and the goblins are going to start trolling you. And,
exactly. It's just shenanigans, is what it is.
Full circle.
We can go home now. Wrap this up.
Yep, we did it.
That's the end of Speak Beastie.
So Katie also pointed out that since the actress who is playing Mrs. Goldstein is so young, and Alison Sudol says that the Goldstein sisters have raised each other, it seems likely that Mrs. Goldstein died at a young age, and we'll probably see her in photographs or a flashback, which is a pretty cool idea. But also Katie was like, what if she's a ghost? And she thinks that it's likely, but... No, she doesn't think that it's likely, but the idea of seeing characters interact with someone who's dead but still has living relatives is very intriguing. And, yeah, no, I don't recall that happening in the Harry Potter books. Yeah, as Katie said, people interacted with ghosts, but those people weren't their living relatives. So I don't remember that happening in the books at all.
No.
No.
Because the only...
Yeah, I think this would be really cool.
I think that's pretty unlikely. Yeah,
but we don't really know.
True.
And at some point, Newt does have to figure out, well, are ghosts in the book? I don't think so, right?
Well, we went through last week when all of those things were established. The,
No ghosts. Sorry. Forget that then.
Ghosts are non-beings.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that was established before the book, I think. Right? Yeah.
There has beens.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which isn't to say that Newt wouldn't interact with ghosts. It's very possible. But I do like this idea of the Goldstein interaction and Goldstein sisters and having ghosts be a part of that, especially in what we've seen so far as a very non-magical setting. Like New York, the stills from New York, they look very cool and everything, but everything seems like relatively non-magical because we haven't gotten any beasts yet. So having like a, oh, and also one of the big characters we're talking to is a ghost. Like, that's an interesting little...
Like, one of the things with J.K. Rowling is that she's all about accepting death and, you know, dealing with mourning. And, you know, like, that would be completely bizarre if she came out with that, I think. Especially in view of, you know, the end of Harry Potter and the Resurrection Stone, the messages are all imbued and all that. So, I don't know. I think it's extremely unlikely. But, I mean, it's a cool idea.
It would definitely be something else to separate it from the Harry Potter series. But like Eleanor was saying, it does seem pretty unlikely. And I agree that it could just be in photographs or flashbacks to get more background on Queenie and Tina.
I just keep thinking of Paranorman, like talking with his grandma all the time, like that kind of relationship. That's how I'm envisioning this idea now. Just like, oh yeah, and she's there, and it's not like a big deal.
Mm. This is my sister Queenie. This is my mom. She's a ghost.
Exactly.
Don't try to shake her hand. It's not really there.
Wait, what? Oh.
That's morbid.
That'd be weird.
Yeah.
That's if she was a ghost, it couldn't be that way.
And if she was
I don't know, she'd have to like secretly be watching them or something.
Yeah, and generally,
and maybe she would like pass on at the end.
Yeah, and generally they have pretty tragic deaths, so
it's true.
We'd have to, I don't know.
Well, they have some unfinished business.
Yeah, well yeah. Or they're just unwilling to move on.
Yeah.
Another thing that Katie's brought up is that what is happening with Mr. Goldstein, because obviously it's strange that there's a Mrs. Goldstein, but there's no mention of Mr. Goldstein. So Katie was wondering if he could be a nomad who left his family once he found out they were magical, assuming Mrs. Goldstein is a witch, or maybe one of the reasons why Tina wants to fight for what's right and why Queenie is so big-hearted is that they've experienced firsthand in their family the tense relationship between magical and non-magical people. That is a really cool idea. I don't know. What do you guys think?
I'm not sure. I think it could be interesting to have another one of those dynamics of a father who left because of magic. That's a kind of parallel to Tom Riddle Sr., Tom Riddle Jr. But, you know, the circumstances were obviously way more extreme. But it could be something... This is a different time. It could be something much deeper. He could have been involved in who knows what. Like, maybe he wasn't a good person, or maybe he died before. We don't really know.
Anything could have happened.
Yeah, exactly. So I do appreciate the mystery surrounding him so far, and I'm looking forward to seeing them explore that a little bit more, because even just from the behind-the-scenes footage, which we'll be talking about in a bit, I feel like I'm really going to like Tina and Queenie's relationship, because too often we get sisters who are at each other's throats, or one's good and one's evil, and I really hope they don't do that, because I have a pretty strong relationship with my sister, and I would just like to see something like that on the big screen.
I think there's
especially...
like a trend at the moment with Hollywood with all of that kind of stuff. I think we'll be all right there. I mean, like with Frozen and all of that kind of stuff.
Yeah, well, they initially wanted to make Elsa evil, so...
No!
Well, if you were following the original story, that would make more sense, but...
That was so sad. I'm only the messenger.
I think it's totally possible the whole Mr. Goldstein being a nomad who left the family, it deals with very similar, like you said, the ideas of the father leaving, but also we've kind of seen and talked about in past episodes how the magical and non-magical camps are going to have really like a big influence on this movie, and how nomadges and the relationship between like Newt and a nomad and like all these things are going to be big plot points and themes that they'll explore. So it makes sense to have another tie to that kind of political camp.
Yeah. Now for our main discussion. Luckily, I was able to attend the Harry Potter celebration in Florida. I wasn't there for the Fantastic Beasts behind the scenes footage when it was released, but of course, MuggleNet posted, and I got to watch. So we're going to do a breakdown of what happens and all of the new information and things that we saw in this video, everything that was released. I'm talking real slow.
How dare, like... half the people from MuggleNet come to Florida and not come visit me.
You were like, I can't go. And then we just assumed like that meant you weren't anywhere near us.
Oh, Well, I mean, not that I was anywhere near. Florida's a pretty big state, but I'm only a 5-hour drive away from Orlando.
Oh, okay. Okay, but I already drove 12 hours to get there, so I was pretty dead.
I'm just a day trip. Come on.
No, you're not. We missed you there, though. Truly.
Oh.
I like how Eleanor...
Just me, though, not like Aaron.
Well, I've never met Aaron. I'm sorry. I can't miss you if I don't, like... If I haven't previously met you, I don't know.
It's fine. I'm not offended. Not at all. Not in the slightest.
I don't mean it in a mean way. I just mean, like, I couldn't be like, man, I sure do miss Aaron. It's not like last time when we hung out. Like, there's not one.
Shannon we hang out and I every got other to week.
Meet... Shannon and I got to meet at GeekyCon. So I could be like, yeah. Oh, I miss Shannon. It's not the same.
Okay, let's talk about this behind the scenes featurette thing.
Yes. So, it starts off with the great Warner Brothers logo and the nice little music that apparently will be associated with Fantastic Beasts. And then we get a shot of Eddie/Newt walking through a building and going up some stairs. Now, do we believe this is MACUSA or would this be the bank? What are y'all thinking?
I don't know, but I'm sure Katie could figure it out.
Yeah. Katie, our...
So the first shot when he's going up the stairs?
Yes, yeah.
I feel it's either a government building, like, it's either MACUSA, or it looks kind of like a train station to me. There are so many, like, you know, portals. There are so many entrances and stuff. It feels like a train station, but... Well, I don't know.
Yeah, and then we have Queenie in the next shot going up those same set of stairs. So...
And these are... This does look like... I think it's MACUSA. This looks like what is on the poster.
Yeah. That's why I immediately assumed that's what it was, because I kind of got those vibes.
Mm-hmm.
So then the footage shows us some different places they're wandering around in the streets. And if anyone can tell us any of the names of the shops that you see, I noticed at one point I saw there was a tailor, but
yeah, there's a mm-hmm. tailor. There's a bicycle shop. There's a shop. It looks like it's Alcarazo or like something like that. Alcarazo yeah. Zima, paper and twine. Which is, like, such a cool name for a shop. I don't know what that, like, I don't know if it's magical or non-magical, but man, what a cool name for a shop.
Yeah, I was thinking...
And there's a cafe that they have later.
Yeah.
But I think I see a sign that says fish market and one that says meats. So I'm contributing a lot right now.
No, I was assuming that all of these were kind of non-magical places.
Mm-hmm.
Especially since, you know, when you go to the Ministry of Magic, it's surrounded by muggly places. So I assumed even if they were by MACUSA or the bank or whatever, it would still be surrounded by that sort of, well, in this case, nomad setting.
Yeah, plus I can't imagine them having flying bicycles. That's only, that's Wicked Witch of the West stuff, not like Potter stuff.
But maybe that's where she got it from.
Yeah, there you go.
She was Canon a witch.
Marked it.
And then we got a nice shot of J.K. Rowling walking on set and pointing at what I can only assume are very important things. And did anybody else notice that statue that she was standing
yeah.
by? What?
Yeah.
It kind of looked like a family. Yeah?
Or yeah. No?
Mm-hmm.
Because it looked to be... taller and shorter people, so I would just assume that's a family.
Well, there are two people, a man and a woman standing next to each other with a child who's looking at them, and then there's it looks like one other statue across from them.
Yeah.
So, to
me...
I
think there might actually be another person, like, another statue next to the statue, like, behind it. Because if you look at the ground, it looks kind of like the edge of another, like, cloak thing.
Oh, it kind of does. You're right. Hmm. I was going to say, it looks not like an orphanage type picture, but you've got like, it looks like the child is going toward the other two. So mm-hmm. you have a, like an exchange there that's, it seems like that. I don't know.
Well,
that's what I thought too.
When I first spotted it, what it immediately just reminded me of was the atrium at the Ministry of Magic.
Mm-hmm.
And that statue, not necessarily the same statue or even the same, nothing was the same about it, but it just made me think there's a statue in the center of this place, so mm-hmm. it has to have some sort of importance.
They look kind of like pilgrims, so I'm thinking of the Salem Witch Trials. Oh. It could have something to do with that.
Oh, that would be cool. There's just so many things that they can do. That we've speculated on. I'm like, I want all of these things to happen.
I just love that there are eagles everywhere. I'm like, yeah, mm-hmm. America. Just America. Put eagles on everything.
Shannon.
Feels right.
And then we do get a nice shot of the MACUSA logo, which is so gold and pretty. And then the Woolworth building, which is, again, more gold in 1920s.
Yeah.
Then we get a shot of people running away, but not Newt. He says, I'm going to walk closer to whatever this thing is that everyone's running away from, which I can assume is a beast.
Yeah.
Seems like a solid assumption.
Yeah. And then we get another shot. Yeah, but we get another shot of him doing the same thing. People are running out of a building, and he's running into it, because people are just yet again running away. And Newt says, no, not me. And he puts his hands on his sides in a Superman fashion.
I like the shot where he starts running, and Tila, like, chases after him, and she's smiling like, this is so much fun. And then Queenie's like, okay, I guess we're going. And Jacob's like, what is going on? But I guess we're running now.
I do appreciate the first initial shot in the footage of the quartet. They just look so good. Like, their outfits mm-hmm. and it's just, to me, aesthetically pleasing just to have this nice little quartet of random.
I can't wait to make all my friends cosplay them.
Right? Dibs on
I'm
Queenie.
Newt, obviously. Just calling him for.
Through this whole thing, I keep seeing, like, there are several shots where people are carrying the suitcase.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, like, I think it's like 104, someone's got it. And then 120-something.
Katie had a screenshot of the person at 104, and she thinks that's Jacob.
Well, yeah, I think Jacob's also carrying it later, too. He's standing, I think it's 139, he's standing in front of the crew, and it looks like he's got it there, too.
Well, isn't there the point where he's talking about himself and how he wanted to open the bakery, which we'll get to, obviously, but mm-hmm. he's putting a suitcase on a table and presenting it to somebody.
And I think this continues to support the theory that there's two different cases that look the same.
Yes.
And there's a mix-up.
Unless they all have suitcases, and then it's just the entire thing of just, like, trying to find
everyone
suitcases
has
everywhere.
The same suitcase.
What are the odds of more than one person in this movie having a suitcase? Let's be realistic.
What else is in this featurette?
Okay, so then we get a nice little quote from Catherine Waterston, who's describing her character Tina. She said she's very soulful. She has a lot of heart and strengths and courage. So I was kind of thinking maybe she's Ilvermorny's version of a Gryffindor, or mm-hmm. if there is even such a thing. We have no idea about Ilvermorny at this point, but the way she was describing this made me think of what a Gryffindor would be. Which I think is interesting, especially since Newt is a Hufflepuff, so we'd have a Gryffindor-Hufflepuff mm-hmm. relationship.
Aww.
I'm really hoping that if it's an American wizarding school, and because it wouldn't make as much sense if it were in Canada, but like as an American wizarding school, if instead of having houses like Hogwarts, it were like fraternities, that would be so much funnier. just like these like Animal House type deals where you get sorted similarly, but it's just like a whole different feel. That's what I'm hoping.
So there's like the Eagle House, then the second Eagle House. what else is American?
Eagle with sword house. Eagle with gun house.
Isn't that your Greek system? You have a kappa house, and you'd be like weird little monkey from Japan mascots.
Oh my gosh. That is the cutest thing I've heard. What if, because you said fraternities, but obviously there'd have to be sororities too, because right. Sexism, we don't appreciate that here. I'm sorry.
It's damn straight.
But just, like, imagining Tina and Queenie in sororities and doing those fancy hand gestures. Oh, I don't know. I know so little about sororities and fraternities if that weren't made very obvious.
It's like fancy hand gestures?
Yeah, you know, like when the girls get together and take a picture and they're doing, like, the...
Like, sorority squat and the
Gamma Alpha or whatever.
The skinny arm. Like, you have to, like, turn your elbow out so that, like, your arm looks really skinny.
No, what? No. What is that? What
That's
are you...
true. It's all true.
I don't know what
like,
I know
you look
what
you're at like a sorority
about,
picture,
no.
They're all doing the same poses. It's... There's a reason why. It's because your arm looks skinny.
When they like have a like hand sign Do for you... the name of the sorority.
Yeah, Aaron. Women, I don't care about the skinniness of my arm when I'm posing. That is, I didn't even know this was a thing. I guess this is why I'm not
it's
in a sorority.
Totally a thing.
Are you in a sorority? Is this why you know this?
I was in a fraternity, yes.
What? Really?
Of course you
yeah.
were.
What?
I know.
So you did the skinny arm thing for your frat?
Always. My arms were sufficiently skinny all the time in fraternity pictures.
I believe it. Oh my gosh. Why?
I think we're going to need some of these pictures.
For
research purposes.
That's exactly what I was going to say, Shannon. So then we got some information from Allison Sudol, who plays Queenie. And she says, so you have two sisters who have raised each other and who have a very deep bond. So as Katie in the Outpost was saying earlier, could this be a possible clue as to their backstory and what happened with their parents and everything? That's something I really want to know more about.
Yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to backstory. I wonder how much of like, because okay, if it's a flashback, like how solid of a flashback is it going to be? Because in all of the Harry Potter movies, they were very kind of flashes.
Yeah.
And
I get what you're
not
saying.
Really full scenes.
Yeah. The only time we really got full scenes were with Tom Riddle when he was younger. And even
yeah,
then,
with the memories.
Yeah, even then they had that kind of hazy glow around them. With Dan Fogler, he described Jacob. He said he's back from the war and now he's trying to get his life together and open up a bakery. He just happens into this very magical situation. And personally, I really appreciate the idea of him just wanting to bake some cakes and maybe some donuts or whatever. And he's like, ah, crap, I'm in this situation now with this Newt guy. And also, him being a veteran is an interesting take and an interesting backstory that I'd like to see as well.
Also, it works with that whole idea about the two suitcases being flipped, because then he's just, like, forced into it.
Yeah, exactly. It goes exactly with what he was saying about. He just happens into this. He just wants to open up a bakery. He didn't want to open up that suitcase.
It is interesting that he's back from the war, because World War I ended in 1918.
Yeah. I think it was...
But that would be the war that I would think it would be.
Yeah. Because I tried to...
You've got like some reconstruction that happens after that, don't you, though? So he could have still been...
True.
Over there.
Yeah.
For a while.
Because I was trying to look it up, because I knew that there was that slightly big gap between the war that I assumed he was referring to and the time that the movie starts. So,
yeah.
Maybe they would expand on that a little more and go into some of his backstory. Because I think that could be interesting, because we definitely get we get a little bit of World War II backstory with the whole Dumbledore and Grindelwald situation.
Mm-hmm.
So to go even further with World War I, I think would be really interesting.
I'm going to add that to my list of time turner.
Yay. So.
All right.
So then we get just some nice shots of the cast doing different things on set or for a scene. What I really liked in the behind the scenes footage was Jacob and Queenie doing this little cartoon-like tiptoe. And I wonder if there's a possible ship there.
It's always a ship.
Everything's a ship.
Yeah. I ship you and you and you. But I really did with the next thing that they showed with Newt pushing aside a strand of Tina's hair. Oh, it made my heart melt a little. I was just like, they're so cute. I love them.
And the scarf.
Oh my gosh, yes. His scarf. I'm so looking forward to the age of Hufflepuff. And then we got a few more shots of Newt running through the streets, getting a nice workout, as yeah. he does. It makes me wonder how much Eddie really had to physically put into this role. And it seems he was up for it. Stunts. Yeah, exactly. Last episode, we talked a bit about that. So he seemed very eager to do it. It just, I wonder if he ever got to a point like, this is way more running than I expected. But I also liked the shot of the quartet standing with Joe, because obviously we have, with the original series, we have a lot of different pictures of Joe standing with the trio, and now we have a quartet, and I'm just looking forward to the evolution of these four characters, and Joe coming on set, and visiting, and tweeting.
I'm just so excited.
I am too. Him with his little Hufflepuff scarf. Talking
in the being so shot animated. Where they're all standing with Joe, Newt looks a little dirty.
Yeah, there was one.
Who let dirt get on this coat?
There was one shot in the beginning of the behind the scenes footage where they're talking about the beast being released, and on his face, I couldn't tell if it was dirt or blood, but it looked a little messy. It didn't look like his usual freckles.
Yeah.
So I wonder if something happened, because he's kind of crouched stuff on the ground and looking up slowly.
Oh, I know what shot you're talking about.
Yeah.
I'm trying to find it now, because I don't remember noticing that. Oh, because there's a shot where he's, like, looking at something, oh, and walking forward, and everybody else is running away.
Yeah.
And then it's that shot where he's crouched down. Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, it seems a little more noticeably a little different. Yeah. You've got dirt on your nose, by the way. Did you know? Just that.
Aw.
Aw.
So they're gonna... Things are gonna get rough.
And messy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, now you speak up. That's not how it works, Aaron. So the footage ended with the nice little phrase that we first heard from Joe to describe the movie. Newt Scamander only meant to stay in New York for a few hours. So it just still begs the question, what is he doing there in the first place? And obviously now we know why he's being held back, but we still don't really know what his main goal was in going there in the first place. So who knows? I don't.
I like how it says, see you in November.
Yeah.
Almost like there's going to be nothing new until then. Like, this is it. See you then.
Well, that's why Speak Beastie is here.
Yeah.
Yes, you're welcome. We're here for all your Fantastic Beast needs before November. After that, still. But, you know, we're not just going
to... Indefinitely. Forever.
We're not just going to stop after the movie comes out and be like, well, that's it. No more can be said on the matter.
So we were talking about some ships in that featurette. So for today's Time Turner segment, we're going to have a little fun. It's going to be a little bit different from our other segments, from our other Time Turner segments, because it is Valentine's Day. Mm. And so we were like, let's talk about Newt and Porpentina and how they get together. We know that they get together because as of the literal Fantastic Beasts book, they are married with kids and beasts and stuff.
And stuff.
Yeah. Presumably they have objects, items, you know? And actually, because everything goes back to Katie's email, she had asked in a little postscript, what do you like better for a couple name for Newt and Tina? Porpanoot or Newtina?
Newtina.
Newtina.
Yeah.
I think Newtina makes more sense.
It sounds like a sugar sweetener.
Could their last names be combined in any way?
Goldsmander.
Skasteen.
That's so much work.
No, the first names are much better.
You could actually do Porpentinute.
Ooh. That is...
You know, looking at them written out, I thought Newtina looked a lot better, but then I said them out loud and I liked Porpentinute better.
But Newtina.
It's cute. They're both cute.
Put it in your coffee for fewer calories. Newtina. It's just, I don't know. I always get really jealous of cute couple names, like when they're combined, because my boyfriend mm-hmm. and I literally, middle name, last name, however we put it, there's no cute couple name for us. And it's very disappointing. The best we have is Sterile. And I'm like, that sounds way too much like sterile. And I just, it's not Newtina. It's not cute. Even Porpanoot is cuter than any of our combined names. Yeah, that's what I've got.
It's the most important thing to figure out about a relationship.
I guess I shouldn't have started dating him. I was like, we don't have a cute couple name. This can't work. But I'm 4 years in. I can't turn back now. So
do we think that Newt and Porpentina will, officially get together in the first film? Or will it be dragged out across several years?
Ooh. I hope they don't drag it out too much.
Mm-hmm. I do think this film appears to take place over the course of 1 or 2 days.
Yeah.
And they obviously meet during it, so it probably wouldn't make sense for them to get together, but I mean, it's film.
Yeah, this could just be the initial spark, and it's already going to be a trilogy. We're not going to watch the end of the movie and be like, will there be more? Mm-hmm. That yes, there will. So I think it would allow for more time for them to explore the relationship. And this first movie, how I see it, is very much going to be focused on them trying to get the beast, and I personally don't think there's a lot of time for romance during all of that, but who knows, maybe that's what, you know, gets Newt all hot and bothered, but I want to see it fleshed out. I don't want to see it rushed through, and I don't want to see, we know it's going to happen, so I want it to make sense as to why it happens, and not just all of a sudden it's there. It's Newtina.
Maybe Newt is asexual. That's my new headcanon. Because I always gotta pick one character to be ace.
Well, he's... That could make sense.
I like the idea of him having no idea that a girl likes him.
I could see that, though.
I feel like I kind of want the Newtina relationship to happen, relatively quickly, because I don't want a whole trilogy mm-hmm. of... will they, won't they, even though we know that they will. It'd be a nice change to have them be in a relationship and, explore what being in a relationship is like. Because in the Harry Potter films, we're just going back and forth with teenage relationships, but this isn't teenage relationships anymore. This is, real relationships. So it'd be nice to explore that instead.
Wouldn't it be interesting if they, didn't get together in a movie? The first movie happens, then the second movie starts, and they've gotten together in between films.
Just off screen.
No, don't do that to me. Come on.
Okay.
For my sake, just give me a little of their romance. It doesn't have to be all Nicholas Sparks, because no. But I just want, I want to see that cutesy little new romance in the Wizarding world. Just...
Because, it's normally the romance is secondary, usually, for, J.K. Rowling anyway, so it'll be okay.
Yeah.
Fine.
So, on the complete other side of 1920s Valentine's Day, we're gonna go to some actual historical stuff now in this Time Turner segment. In 1929 was the St. Valentine's Day Massacre.
Awesome.
Lovely, lovely stuff. So the St. Valentine's Day Massacre was the murder of... I'm just reading Wikipedia. Like, I don't want anyone to think that I'm a super expert here. Murder of 7 mob associates and a mechanic of the Northside Irish gang led by Bugs Moran during the Prohibition era, obviously. It resulted from the struggle between the Irish-American gang and the Southside Italian gang led by Al Capone to take control of organized crime in Chicago. So, obviously the first Fantastic Beasts movie takes place in 1926, and this event happened in 1929. In Chicago, not New York, but Newt was only supposed to stay in New York for a few hours, so he could go elsewhere. Do we think that there's anything magical going on with the St. Valentine's Day Massacre?
He's not confined.
Is Al Capone a wizard?
Ooh, that would be an interesting
take. Is Al Capone a wizard?
That would explain.
I think it makes a lot of sense for, like, if wizards were... At this time period, I think it makes a lot of sense for there to be some kind of organized crime mingling with wizards or vice versa, because like how are they organized crime, basically, especially in Chicago at that time, it was the Irish versus the Italians of who literally controlled the city. Like, the cops had nothing to do with it at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if you've got wizards involved in that, it's like, oh, we have control of this entire city, just like at a whim, we can do whatever we want. And for those, especially, you know, when we've got this issue of magic versus nomadge, like the idea of wizards using nomadges for a power struggle, that makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, I would love to see that. Fantastic Beasts 2, Gangster Wizards. In Chicago.
I'm down.
I don't know what that has to do with beasts.
Well,
Al Capone
knows?
Has a dragon.
Yeah, oh my gosh. They very well could have used some kind of beast. I haven't memorized every kind of beast there is in the book, but even with the demiguys, there's going to be one in Fantastic Beasts. He's known for invisibility. For all we know, that's how they transported their alcohol and got away with so many crimes. So it could very well explain something having to do with
beasts.
Well,
hey, the St. Valentine's Day Massacre was Irish gang versus Italian gang. I can't think of any Italian beasts that are mentioned in the books, but the augury is the Irish phoenix who sings when death is near.
Ooh.
I believe. Yeah. It's either death or rain. It's hard to tell.
Is someone dying or is it storming? I don't know.
Or it's just like a really big coincidence every time it sings.
So, this week in the Newt case, we have shapeshifters. This is actually kind of a PSA for Valentine's Day. There are lots of different legends about shapeshifters in all different cultures, but looking at just a few of them this week, we have Selkies, Kitsune, and Encantado. Selkies are kind of like what we talked about before, Kelpies, we mentioned on a previous one. Icelandic, Scottish, Irish legends that talk about enchanted seals that shed their seal skin and become human. So they're shapeshifters to become human, and they can put it back on to become a seal. And they love to hook up. Aww. So they basically turn from a seal to a person, walk around, hook up with people, and then bounce.
Hit it and quit it.
Hit it and quit it.
I hope they literally bounce. I hope they literally
probably
bounce
not. The good news is that if you want a longer term relationship, supposedly stealing their skin, their seal skin, can keep them in human form indefinitely. And in some stories, it can actually make them your slave, which is, you know, if you're into that,
the backbone for any good relationship.
But yeah, and the con, of course, is again illegitimate children.
It's always a con, you know. I guess. I don't know.
I guess it's a con, you know, if you're a glass half empty type person.
I didn't mean it that way. I meant like, forget it. I'm going to sound like a horrible person.
Very similar to that, you've got Kitsune, Japanese foxes. Actually, it seems it's very often like all foxes possibly can do this, but in a lot of Japanese legends, foxes can transform most often into women, and they seduce men.
Oh.
And of course, as most shapeshifters in this little segment that we have here, they are very prone to adultery and home wrecking and kidnapping. The usual.
Ah,
there's Kitsune's on Teen Wolf.
Yes, so. I was going to say that.
The best show on television.
Is that sarcasm?
Yes.
Okay. Tuesday nights are like my teenage show nights, because I'm like, these shows aren't the top quality shows, but I'll watch them anyway.
That's when I started watching Teen Wolf. I went in knowing this is an MTV show called Teen Wolf.
Yeah. Well, I was first very upset because I was like, you're not the Teen Wolf that I know and love. And I'm like, that 80s movie was still horrible, Ariel. Like, what? It's not. Come on. Lower your expectations a little.
It's a wonderful movie.
I love it, but I know it's not great.
But it's terrible. Yeah. Lastly, in the new case, we have Encantado. It's South American river dolphins who can change their shape, so kind of similar to Selkies. They change their shape to mostly men, and they're very attractive.
Cool.
They are very powerful at night, and they have amazing musical ability, and they're really big party animals. So they usually appear around, I think it's June. There's a festival in Brazil around June, and they tend to pop up around there, and they come in, they party like crazy, and they hook up, and then when you're like, oh, I'm gonna leave, they're like, oh, what, don't leave, and they're really good at mind control, making people go insane, and the whole, you know, love affair, illegitimate children, kidnapping type thing, so people often disappear around that time. So people in Brazil especially are very afraid of the river at that time, like during the summer months and especially during the nighttime. But you can possibly tell if you have an Encantado on your hands, because they usually wear hats to hide their blowholes, because they can't hide their blowholes completely. It's they have a bald spot on top of their head, and so they'll wear a hat to cover it up.
That's so hot.
That is the best thing I've heard all day.
Avoid all men wearing hats, basically.
Yeah.
Yep. This Valentine's Day, watch out for men wearing hats.
And just stay away from, like, water at all costs.
Yeah. Enjoy, yeah.
Foxes.
Pretty, like, two-thirds of these have been water. And then, so just don't trust anybody this Valentine's Day. You know, when you're looking for love.
Stick with who you know.
Just don't go looking for love. It's not worth it.
Wow, Shannon.
Especially not in the river.
Sorry.
Don't go looking for love in the river.
I mean when I'm sick.
That sounds like a horrible country song. Oh, goodness.
So do we think that any of these beasts could make appearances in Fantastic Beasts?
I think that there's a chance of some kind of shapeshifter, but probably something closer to the Selkie. A little bit less like scary and forward than the Encantado, and a little less rare or a little less frequent than the Kitsune.
But I would like to see one of these try to seduce Newt. Especially with Shannon's theory that he'd be so oblivious and just like, what? You want me? No. Especially if it's a Kitsune just kind of trying to come on to him and... I don't know. It'd just be very...
That would be hilarious. And like, Newt's like, okay then. And then one day, like, Jason's like, can I just check if you've got a blowhole or not? Oh, what a great date.
Oh, goodness.
Knew it looking and just on tipping everyone's hats over.
That would be good fun.
I don't mean to be rude, but can I see your blowhole?
That's a different movie entirely.
Then it cuts to a shot of him being thrown out the door. So that's it for today's episode. Make sure to send in news stories, fantastic theories, comments, questions, anything. If you have something that's really long, like Katie's email, that's great. We kept bringing it up, so it was really good. And don't forget to donate to our Patreon. You can donate as little as $1 per month and become a sponsor of Speak Beastie to make sure that we can keep on going. And that is at patreon.com/speakbeastie. And thank you, Eleanor, for joining us today.
Thank you.
So humble.
Well, hear your voice again many weeks from now, hopefully.
Yes.
Yeah, and if you would like to contact us, you can find us on Twitter and Instagram at SpeakBeastie, or on Facebook at facebook.com/SpeakBeastie, or Tumblr at SpeakBeastiePodcast.tumblr.com, or you can leave us an audiogram at audiogram.com/channel/SpeakBeastie, and if you you can subscribe to us on iTunes. And if you could please leave us a review, we would love it very, very much. Thank you so much.
I'm Shannon.
I'm Ariel.
I'm Aaron.
And I'm Eleanor.
Case closed. Maybe my box of cookies.
No, that can't be it.